Band, thank you for leading us in an incredible time of worship and song, just recognizing God's goodness and his love for us. And I pray that, that's my prayer, that as we journey through life, we all experience ups and downs and hardship and different things that are going on, and that we would recognize the love of God in all of the circumstances. He has not left us. He has not abandoned us. This morning, we're continuing our series on in 1 John, the authentic you, who you are in Jesus. And today, we're looking at a unique title, Love is a Cross, Not a Hashtag. Why is love such an incredibly easy word to say? It's very easy to say, I love you, I love this, I loved doing that, I love this kind of food, and yet to act on love, what it really means is quite hard. I think our society has cheapened the meaning of the word love to where it has little or no real value. If you scroll through any type of social media, you'll see love everywhere. Hashtags like love wins, slogans like love is love, and or posts that say sending love and prayers. And it's not just online. We see it in greeting cards. We see it in plaques in our houses, throughout our houses, and in the casual comments of love you, hugs and kisses. But here's the problem. Much of what our culture calls love is sentiment without sacrifice. It's a feeling, it's a phrase, but rarely is it a life laid down. The Apostle Paul, wrong guy, we're in John. The Apostle John, writing to a church under pressure, cuts through all the noise that this church is hearing. And he reminds them, and by extension us, that real love isn't a hashtag, it's not a slogan, it's not some cheap, easy word that we use, but that it's a cross. It's costly, it's active, and it's others-focused. It's aimed at others. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 John chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 11 to 34 as we listen to John's words. 1 John 3:11 to 24. For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was one of the evil one and slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. Do not be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in needs and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth. We will know by this that we are of the truth and will assure our heart before him. In whatever our heart condemns us, for God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. This is the commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. The one who keeps his commandments abides in him and he in him. We know by this that he abides in us by the Spirit he has given us. John isn't introducing something new here. He's reminding us of what God has said from the beginning. He's calling us back to the beginning, to Leviticus 19:18 possibly. Your neighbor, love your neighbor as yourself. But notice that he doesn't treat love as just an ethic to aspire to. He treats it as evidence of spiritual reality. Love is not only commanded, it's diagnostic. It reveals whether we have truly crossed from death into life. And that's why John points to Cain, verse 12. Not as Cain, who was of the evil one and slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. You see, what John is doing here is he's saying Cain is the warning. His lack of love, the hatred, the utter contempt that he had for his brother exposed the spiritual reality or the condition of his heart. And that's John's challenge to all of us. Look into the mirror of your relationships. What does it reveal? Because love is a mirror. The presence or absence of love reveals the presence or absence of God's life within us. And John uses some incredibly strong language to bring across this point in verse 15. He says this, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. That's incredibly strong language that he's using here. But Cain's hatred led him to murder Abel. And John is warning his audience and us that hatred, even when it's not physical or actual murder, comes from the same root. Hatred includes resentment. It includes indifference, envy, the refusal to forgive, the refusal to love. Love and hatred, they've been used as spiritual thermometers. How do you measure love? And yes, they don't create life or death, but they reveal what is already true. When love shows up in our life, as imperfect as it often is, it's evidence that we've crossed from death into life. And that's encouraging. God's Spirit is at work in our lives, and that's encouraging. But on the other hand of that, when resentment or indifference take root, it's a warning that we're drifting from the life that God offers. And how does this get lived out today? What does that look like in our day and age, in everyday life? And here are a few ways that can get lived out. Think about how we sometimes express love. Someone might share of a hardship that they're going through, a struggle or a challenge that they're going through, and we respond online with, thoughts and prayers are with you, but we never actually lift a hand. We stick to speaking kind words, but we avoid costly action. Or the second way, when it comes to making mistakes and forgiveness, we do expect others to forgive our mistakes, to overlook our shortcomings. But when was the last time that we forgave somebody and pursued restoration? Love is giving up our rights or our perceived rights that we have over another to bring glory to God. Another way this looks is when we say we really do care, but when you look at our calendars or checkbooks, They tell a very different story. There's little time or money devoted to showing care. Several years ago, I was sitting at a coffee shop, and a pastor, he stopped by to chat for a bit. And from what I had seen previously, and from the outside, he looked like a picture of care and compassion. But that day, as he spoke to me, I could see what was going on inwardly. Because years of hurt and bitterness had left him broken. He'd become this bitter man, filled with hatred. There was a huge gap in appearance and reputation from what was really going on in his heart. And it's that gap that John is calling out. Love must be more than just appearance. It has to be absolutely real. And if we're honest, that gap can be alive in us too. How many of us can put on a really good face? Look warm and friendly on Sunday morning, but man, we still carry grudges. We harbor bitterness or indifference in our heart. But John, he's not going to let us settle for that. He's pressing. He's pressing us to move from appearance to authenticity. From words and images to sacrificial real love. So maybe this is a good time to look in the mirror. And what does it reveal? Where do you see the Spirit producing love in your life? And where do you sense Him nudging you away from bitterness and resentment and indifference? And the good news is if you see love, however small, it is evidence of love that has taken root and that can grow. But John doesn't leave love at the level of reflection. He moves us from the mirror to the measure. How do we know what real love looks like? How can we tell if what we see in the mirror is genuine? And John points us to the ultimate example. He points us to the cross. Love isn't just a feeling to be noticed. It's a sacrifice to be lived. Love is costly. Love costs. And John raises the stakes here in verse 16 to 18. He says this: "We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brother." Isn't that incredible? But whoever, and look what he says in verse 18, "But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in needs and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him?" John's seeing that as impossible. That you can't have the resources, the means, and not respond if the life is in you. And then he goes on to say this: "Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth." That's a pretty lofty call for all of us. But this is the heart of the gospel. Love is defined at the cross. Jesus didn't just talk about love. He didn't just go around talking about how much he loved the people, the poor, the sick, the people with leprosy, the outcasts of the world. He didn't just talk about that. He didn't talk about how much he loved the sinner and how much he desired for them to be in relationship with God again. He showed it by dying for us on the cross. The test of real love isn't what we say. It's about what we sacrifice. And John says, if you see a brother or sister in need and close our hearts, How is it possible for God's love to abide in us? Love isn't optional. Love pulls us out of complacency. It disrupts our comfort. It absolutely does. Because it demands action. And sometimes that action begins very simply with being willing to see and respond. But here's the other side of that. Many people hesitate to ask for help. They fear being a burden, especially in a culture that prizes self-sufficiency and privacy. It's very easy to want to stay quiet. We've been taught that we should be strong. We don't want to be a burden to someone else around us. And we really just need to trust God more. And those are all true. And we need to be discerning, but we can easily be too proud to ask for help and encouragement. And church, if that can't happen in this place, if that can't happen between us as brothers and sisters in Christ, it can't happen. This is the place. But yes, love costs. And if we're honest, it's also easy for us not to step in when a situation becomes, when we notice a situation, when we're reminded of something that's going on, it's really easy not to step in because we'd rather simply offer a quick word than risk inconvenience to our lives. But John says that love that costs nothing is hollow. Over the years, having conversations with many of you throughout this congregation, I have seen so many of you giving quietly of your time and energy and resources. I've seen where you've offered forgiveness when it wasn't easy. I've seen parents who welcome foster kids into their families. There's other families who have welcomed complete strangers into their house. There's people that serve at camps and friends who showed up every week to a hospital bedside. And of course, there's more. Those aren't flashy gestures. They're crosses carried. Carry one another's burden. So I don't know where you're at today, but what would it look like today for you to lay something down this week? Maybe it's your time to listen. Maybe it's your resources to step in and help. Maybe it's your pride to forgive. Where is God calling you to step beyond the symbolic gestures into sacrificial love? Don't just say it. Lay it down. When we see love defined at the cross, it raises the bar for us. Because we recognize that real love costs something. In fact, it cost Jesus his life. And it's not measured in words or feelings, but in our sacrifices, in our actions, in our deeds, and in truth. And that can feel very heavy for us. I mean, honestly, who wants to live like that all of the time? And John knows that some of us will hear this and wonder, man, do I even measure up? Am I loving enough? What if I fail? And that's why he doesn't stop by calling us to costly love. He also reminds us that God meets us in our weakness. Love not only reaches outward to others, it's inward. It reassures us as his children inwardly before God. Love gives confidence before God. John doesn't just say love changes others. He says it changes us as well. In verse 19 to 24, he says this, "We will know by this that we are of the truth and will assure our heart before him. In whatever our heart condemns us, for God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is the commandment, that we believe in the name of his son Jesus Christ and love one another just as he commanded us to. The one who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. We know by this that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. Isn't that encouraging? Isn't that powerful? John weaves these commands together. Believe in Jesus, love one another. They're not two separate commands, but one expression of a life lived in God. If we understand the gospel that Jesus taught, then we will see the need to extend love and kindness to one another. Extravagant love, extravagant kindness, going beyond, laying it down. And yet, in a culture obsessed with performance and comparison, many feel that they don't measure up. But John says, assurance doesn't come from our perfect record. It actually comes from God's Spirit at work in producing love that abides. And that assurance grows as we walk in love. As we're going through 1 John, John circles around these themes over and over again, like a spiral staircase, if you will. And he always returns to love, but each time from a different vantage point, a different angle. And here in this passage, he shows us three sides of love. First of all, that it's a mirror revealing life or death. And I think the book of James does a real good job of spelling that out for us. James 1, 22 to 27 says this. What does it look like? But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away at once and forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is absolutely worthless. But religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. That's love. Is that what we see when we look at love? Is also costly and can be measured by our sacrifice or lack thereof, I guess. Love is assurance, giving confidence before God. So here's the question for you today. What does it mean for you to lay down your life this week? Your time, your resources, forgiveness, comfort? Don't just say it, lay it down, because love isn't a hashtag, it's a cross. It's not a slogan, it's a cross. And maybe this week it looks like choosing to forgive someone who's hurt you instead of just holding on to resentment and bitterness. Years ago, I met a man who was extremely bitter. And that hatred, it just grew and grew and grew. And this couple who had done so much in serving God in different places, in the church, on the mission field, were so filled with anger and bitterness, it consumed their lives. And they lost sight of the issue because they weren't willing to forgive and to receive forgiveness. Maybe this week it means slowing down enough to really listen to your spouse, or maybe one of your kids, or a friend who really needs your attention. Perhaps it's offering to help a neighbor with groceries or childcare, even when your schedule is so completely full. Or maybe it's sacrificing comfort by visiting someone who's sick or someone who's lonely. Opening your home, your table, or your wallet to meet a very practical need. Love is a cross. And the good news is, the one who laid it down for you will give you the strength to lay it down for others. Because let's be honest, in that flesh that still exists in us, it can be hard to lay something down. But the Spirit empowers us. And here's the encouragement. It is worth it. It is worth it. Every act of costly love, seen or unseen, it doesn't matter. We're not here to reveal what people have done. But every costly love brings joy and reward in eternity, for sure, that we can't even fathom today. I mean, Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And when you lay something down in his name, you gain the joy of obedience. And that's a big deal. To walk in that joy. The delight of knowing that you've lived worthy of the gospel. And the confidence that God is using your love to reflect his. That's encouraging, church. We get to be part of his kingdom. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that you first loved us. Thank you that you loved us to the measure of sacrificing your son Jesus on the cross. Thank you that you loved us. So sacrificial. So obediently. And Father, thank you for the assurance that your Spirit gives us in our weakness. And Father, as we go from here, may we be salt and light in the world. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Pray these things in Jesus' precious and holy name, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen.